Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Welcome, friends, to the GC Podcast. I'm Anthony Mullins, your host, and with me is the maestro of podcast intros, Joe Brannan. My man Joe is the lead pastor at GC Surrey Hills. Keep it quiet on your end. Husband to Megan and father to Jenny, Grayson, and Lily. He's also a man, get this, who was brave enough to play me in a few games of one-on-one basketball, but the results will remain a secret. All I can say is, I won. Joe, when you're about 50 years old, you just got to hold on to all of these athletic achievements. So I'm sorry to do that one more time to you, but how in the world are you?
Well, you know, Anthony, one of our core values at GC Surrey Hills is to meet people where they are. And so, you know, we want to meet people that are older, as this older generation, and really meet them where they are. And so that's what I was trying to do, is just really share the love of Christ with you, my friend, and lay down my life so you feel good about winning that basketball game. So I'm doing well. I'm doing well, man.
Did you really just spiritualize that? You died to yourself? Oh, my word. This is beautiful. I love it. I love it. So today we're talking about worship leading, and we'll be interviewing Keisha Taylor, who is a well-known worship leader in Grace Community International. You know a lot about worship leading. You've been around it for a long time. So why is a leader of worship so crucial to the experience in the Hope venue?
That's a really great question, Anthony. And you know, one of the things that that we have been trying to actually shift in our terminology in our particular congregation is recognizing the fact that worship takes on different different formats. It looks different from each person. So we'll even say, you know, we're going to continue on with our worship of song and music, because that's what we're talking about here. And when it comes to worship through song and music, I think music is just a powerful thing that God has given us. It's a universal language that I really believe that can provide communication in ways that we may not actually have words for. And it really draws things from our heart that I believe that a spoken word may not be able to do. So having worship with song and music is so vital, because it crosses all bounds.
I've heard it said that music, like God, is the only thing that can enter your heart without your permission. It just has a way of connecting. And of course, your wife Megan is a gifted worship leader. So you've seen it done well for several years. And based on what you have witnessed in her leadership, what is the one thing you would want to communicate to worship leaders in GCI?
I would say probably more importantly than seeing it done well is the opportunity that I've been able to see someone like my wife who does it well, but do it even better because of the intentionality that she takes in growing as a follower of Christ, which in turn makes her a better worship leader. I think the biggest thing that I have seen with her that I would love to communicate with our worship leaders in GCI is one word that people are probably getting sick of hearing across our denomination, but intentionality. There is so much intentionality that needs to be done in preparation and communicating and developing the gift that God has given you. If God has given you a gift to lead worship in a congregation through song and music, don't bury that gift. Really work on that craft, that thing that God has given you, and be intentional on it.
And I think that our friend Keisha Taylor is going to speak to that very thing. So, Joe, thank you for your insights. And now let's listen to my interview of Keisha Taylor. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring practical ministry expressions in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I have the great pleasure of interviewing Keisha Taylor. Keisha hails originally from the Bahamas. You know everybody wants to visit her home country, right? And she is the wife of Pastor Charles of 26 years. They have three terrific children together. And until recently, they had been empty nesters, and I'm sure Keisha may bring that up. But for the purposes of this GC podcast episode, she is the worship leader for Grace Communion International in Miramar, Florida. Keisha, thank you for joining us today, and I want to know what's good in your world right now.
What's good in my world right now? Well, thank you for having me. I am right now, my empty nest is on pause. But I am enjoying having our children home, enjoying this new season where we are in this experience that we have. But it is it's a wonderful moment to just explore how do we minister? How do we stay fresh? How do we stay in step with what God is doing in our lives? So this is an exciting time.
It is. It's an exciting time. You know, you have your three kids at home because of the pandemic, and this gives us an opportunity, all of us, to pause and think about the way that we are as the church and the way that we participate in ministry. And so for today's purposes, we're talking about what it looks like to lead worship in a healthy church environment. And it's, I know this is something near and dear to your heart. You have been a longtime worship leader. So let me start out by asking you this. Why do you believe that spirit-led, competent worship leading matters so much in a healthy church environment?
I think that spirit-led, first of all, let me say this. We are children of God. He has birthed us that way through the death and resurrection of Christ, and that deems us children of God. Then after that, the Holy Spirit comes, and He is telling us what we need to do. He's leading and guiding us. So being Spirit-led, it's a calling. It's a position that we have been placed in, that the Holy Spirit is leading and we're following. So we're actually worship followers. So in this thing now of being spirit-led, I think that we have to just remember we're children of God, we're born of God, and the Holy Spirit is leading, and that is what we should be doing, following Him.
Yeah, and in this following, I know that's important to you because I've listened to you teach at various conferences, and following happens before leadership. So with that being said, above anything else, and maybe that's it, but if there's something else, what is it you want to communicate to those who do lead worship in our churches?
The first thing that comes to my mind is that it's not about us. It's all about Christ. It's all about Heavenly Father giving us an experience to know Him, to be one with Him, like Jesus prayed in John 17. He wants us to be one with Him. He wants us to have that close, intimate relationship with Him. So the first thing I want to communicate is that the Father wants His children to be with Him. And how we do that, how we portray that, is creating an invitation so that other people can come in to that relationship, that intimacy with Christ. So it's almost like a narrowing, like a funnel. So the Father is out here, and then He draws it in, and it's more of an intimate thing. And the more we understand who we are, like I said before, we're children of God, we're following, we're worship followers, and we're creating an invitation for an audience, for the world, to come into that relationship, to come into that intimacy with Christ. So that's what I want to communicate to those people who are leading worship. It's not about us. It is about focusing on where we're going. We're being led to heaven. We're being led to eternity. And so that walk that we're doing, that journey that we're doing, it's an intimate relationship with God, and nothing should get in the way. But we want to create a thirsting, delicious, appetizing form of worship that people will want it. They would say, I want some of that. I want what you have. And so we have Christ, we have a relationship, and they would want it. So we present it.
You know, it's interesting as a as a pastor myself, I know that the best preaching on Sunday happens before Sunday. It is drinking in of what the Lord is offering to me, like you said, in an intimate way, and that shows up on Sunday. So you mentioned having this invitation that as a worship leader, you get to invite people to experience that sort of intimacy. Can you tell us what that looks like on a practical level in a worship service?
Okay, well, I'll give you my experience. On a practical level, let me start with how the week goes, because if I just tell you how it is on Sunday, you don't know how it got there. How it looks is that I'm spending my intimate time with the Father in meditation, in scripture reading, in devotionals, in praying and meditating, my quiet moments, even the volleying of conversation with my friends and family, and just really taking note, paying attention, being aware during the week, and making a concerted effort to remember what the Lord is saying, jotting things down, writing things down. I don't memorize everything, but I know that if I saturate myself within the Word, within a healthy volley of conversation with my friends, of expressing, you know, through the Word, that's happening through the week. And then communicating with my pastor, with my pastoral team, what the theme is for the weekend. Make sure that I understand that, choosing the songs, asking God, what do you want to hear? What would you like to hear, Father? And then on Sunday, here it comes together. I have the list of songs, and I have prayed over it. My pastor has prayed over it. My team is ready because I've rehearsed with them during the week. We rehearse once a week for about an hour, hour and a half sometimes. And then everybody has the list of songs. We have a group chat, make sure that everybody's on the same page. We try to make our presentation as far as what people will see. I talk about the ladies, you know, what they wear, and, you know, we even get down to covering ourselves, you know, and we don't want to be a distraction, even for people that we know. We as women, you know, we want to present ourselves in decency and in order as we're presenting on the stage in front of people, nothing hanging out, no revealed unnecessarily, you know, skin, you know, that type of thing. And then make sure that we're all practiced up vocally. We do some vocal exercises in the morning. We pray. If there's any praise report, prayer requests, we bring that before the Lord, because we're casting everything before we start the service. So we want to be prepared when we get up on the stage or when we come before, because some people don't have a stage. It's just, you know, a room. But we want to lay everything at the foot of the cross before we make this invitation to our fellow brothers and sisters. So we have our little time. It may be 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 10 minutes. Then because we have a band, we do a sound check. We make sure that everything's together with the audio, the visual. We pull it together. All of this is done before, like during the week. The audio visual people have the PowerPoint. The people who do the sound, they make sure that, you know, all the mics are together. Our sound person is there early. We try to get there an hour early and set up. That's the way we do it. If they have a bit before we had that setup, take down everything, we still get there really early to make sure, because it's crazy the way that the audio takes on a nature of itself every week. There's always something that happens, or the PowerPoint doesn't come up. So we want to get there in time and take care of those things. And then once that is done, we try to do 20 minutes or 15 to 20 minutes with preparation songs that are, you know, pre-recorded to set the atmosphere. And what I mean by that is that when people are coming in, that they're not seeing us trying to get stuff done at the last minute, pulling wires and setting up and, you know, fixing clothes and doing vocal exercises. We want it to be where the music is there, saturating the place. We have prayed, we are ready, and the pastor is ready. And so then when the time comes, our time is 10:30 on the dot, whether there's one person, two people in the congregation, we begin. And we begin with you know, our worship, our call to worship, our greeting each other, hug each other, make sure that this is happening, and we flow within it. That's the way that our service runs. And sometimes it doesn't happen, but we don't get, you know, all anxious or anything about it. We just flow with it. We go with it. And the Lord is praised. He's really praised. So that is what it looks like practically.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that you don't just show up and and be led by the Spirit? Because I've, you know, let's be honest, I've heard worship leaders say that. I want to be in the moment and be led by the Spirit. It sounds like there's an intensity to your program in terms of the preparation, both in your heart and just the physical aspects of leading worship. So can you talk more about that, the preparatory side of things and why it's so important?
Okay. Preparation is key. I believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit. I believe in things happening where you didn't plan it. I really believe in that. That can happen. But here's the thing. Most times when that happens, it's an emotional thing. And God doesn't waste anything. It's not as if no one will be touched by you being led, quote unquote, led by the Spirit. Because He uses us. He knows that we are dust. And He is loving and kind to us. But I think that He takes a lot of time showing us that He is a preparatory God. He's a God who prepares. And so we want to emulate our God. We want to imitate His move. Christ didn't come and say, oh yeah, let me just, you know, I'll throw that together. No, I think they spent some time. We are going to go. We're going to go down there and we're going to do X, Y, Z. And so from the beginning of time, it's laid out for us that preparation is vital. So preparation during the week, you're taking your time to hear what the Lord wants to say. You're in the Psalms. I call the Psalms and the Proverbs my vitamins, because it's of a worship follower, worship leader. It's where we find how to praise, the words we can use. I'm not saying we must go with King James Version of thou art, thy, and all of that, but there are words that ignite a sort of inspiration for a person to praise. So spending that preparation time, my preparation when I go, Psalm 34 usually gets me right into it. And verse 1 is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So I'm telling myself, I will. So that's my preparation. That's how I'm going to do it. Then the next thing too, if we're leading worship, we got to know the songs. We can't just go in there and say, oh yeah, I heard that song this week and I think that's going to be a good one. Play it, Sam. No. Spend time worshiping with that song. Let that song come into the fibers of your being. You know, that song that says, He's a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. You get that. Sing that in the shower. You sing it in front of the kitchen. You sing it at the counter cutting chicken. I mean, you worship with the song so that it is with you. That's the preparation. By the time you learn all the words, and I would encourage worship leaders or worship followers, learn the lyrics. Don't depend on the PowerPoint. And I could tell you as a person, sometimes I learn a song and I forget the words and I looked at the PowerPoint and there's no PowerPoint. And I'm like, well, da-da-da-da-da. And the congregation's like, what did she say? So learn the lyrics. Let the lyrics go in and be prepared in our voice. Do your vocalizing. If you're a singer, I would encourage worship leaders to take vocal lessons, or, you know, at least learn how to form the words audibly and properly so that people can understand what you're saying. And then if it's to you to memorize scripture for your call to worship and you don't have it written down, memorize it. It's internal. And then the Holy Spirit has something to present so that when he starts leading, he can press you to do what it is you really want to do, and that is move by the Spirit and be Spirit-led. He will have something that has been cooking, so to speak, in your soul all this time, and it comes out so, the aroma effect when it comes out is just the most beautiful thing. So that's why I think preparation, that is what preparation looks like.
Well, thank you for putting that song in my head when I cut chicken tonight, getting ready for dinner. good Father. No,
yes.
that is so good that you're being saturated with the words, with the music, communing with the Father as you go. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Keisha, as you think about the preparation during the week, and then the actual worship celebration on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Could you give us, as learners, as worship leaders, maybe a step, a practical step that will get missed during the week and one that might get missed on Sunday at the celebration itself?
Okay. I think sometimes that our lyrics, we have to make sure that our lyrics, we're learning the lyrics the way that the PowerPoint, this has happened with us, where the lyrics on the PowerPoint is not what we have learned. And we're singing, I'm starting a song, Lord, I lift your name on high, That's an old goldie. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my world. You know, you say world, because you just heard it wrong. That's far-fetched, but the PowerPoint will say life, then that's a distraction. You know, people are looking at you like, why is she saying world? I thought it said in my life. So then all of a sudden people are like, they're giggling because they're nervous. So you can have that happen. Sometimes you will forget to give the list. You know, you don't cover all your bases. You forget to give the list to the audio person, and then they're scrambling around trying to get it together. Another distraction. Sometimes you didn't, you know, somebody forgot that they wouldn't be there that week. They forgot to tell you. So you're anticipating having this person be with you, worship leading, say a guitar, not a guitar, but another vocalist, and then they call or they just don't show up. Lack of communication. So I think that's one of the things that we miss sometimes is communication before we get there. And if there's any an emergency, we don't plan for those things. But I think there should be a plan for it when somebody doesn't show up. Okay, what do I do? What's my plan B? That type of thing. So those are the things that we come up against sometimes.
Yeah, that's really good, Keisha. And it makes me think about the praise band or worship team environment. It is a team-based environment. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about you as the leader of worship for that particular day. It is really about building collaboration and cohesion and real camaraderie amongst the team. And I'd like for you to talk about what that looks like, because probably all of us have seen time. Listen, I don't know if you know this, but we all have egos and pride, and we want our thing. And I've seen it do some damage within a team leading worship. Can you talk to that and how you go about building the camaraderie with your team?
Okay. So my team, it's right now it's about 8 of us on the team, on the praise team. And what we try to do is stay connected weekly. We've created a group chat. And there are a number of apps that you can use, but we prefer just WhatsApp. It's quick, it's easy, everybody uses it. And what I like to do is make sure that everybody knows when practice time is. It is a part of, if you want to be a part of the praise team, you got to attend and participate in weekly practice. It is very, very important. And so we make it a point to meet weekly. And ours is Wednesday in the middle of the week, because that's when we can do it. We have a couple of college kids that have classes. So we meet and we practice the songs. We learn them. We work out harmonies and things like that. And we make sure that everybody's on the same page. Within our group, we have constructive criticizers. Counselors, we call them. And so they will give constructive criticism, whereas, you know, the sound is off, or, you know, we need to be here on time. We have a couple of latecomers consistently. What's the problem? Can I help you with it? That type of thing. I don't do that, because what happens is, because I'm leading, if I am the one that brings the hammer, you know, lovingly, it seems as if the whole team kind of tightens up like tendons in a steak. I don't even know how else to explain it. But it's like, if somebody else comes, another brother and sister who is not leading, they take the constructive criticism better. So we have that. And then the most important thing, I think, is a connection with the pastor, because he is co-shepherding with Christ as to where he wants us to go. Currently in GCI, we're following the RCL. And so our pastor is choosing the theme according to that. And so when we choose the songs, I will talk to the pastor and then relay it to the group. And we all, you know, we'll talk about it and pray about it. And most times it's like, yeah, that really seems to really flow with what, you know, what the theme is going to be for the week. And it's a very quick 5-minute talk. It's not anything that's, you know, extensive. So the goal that we have in our team is the gospel being preached through everything that we do, through our connectivity, through the songs that we sing, through the prayers that we pray, the word that's coming from the pastor, even the dance that we might do, because we do have dance. We have rappers, you know, and they want to rap. We make sure that their lyrics are sound. So we have this connect. I'm talking to them during the week. And it's just a simple text. How you doing? You know, did you get that thing ready? No, I'm not going to be ready this week. Okay, so let's try for next week. And that type of thing. So it's keeping on top of it. And most times when the ball gets dropped, it's because I didn't, as a worship leader, make sure that the connection was continuing during the week, that it didn't happen during the week, and then something happens. So the cohesiveness promotes a successful, coherent service where everything is understood. So we have to stay connected within that week.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's interesting to me that most of our conversation so far has been about what actually happens prior to gathering on a Sunday morning, which is fantastic to think about. And what I'd like to do now, I want to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to crunch them down into one question.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest, these are sort of pet peeves of mine, and I'm curious how you maybe deal with these situations. And number one is when I'm singing a song in the worship service and the theology of the song doesn't match what we believe God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ to be. And it doesn't happen often, but there are times I'm like, what? I can't in good conscience sing those lyrics. And I want to know how you approach that, because modern Christian, contemporary Christian music has sometimes been criticized as being really shallow. The second thing is, I have gone to worship services where it feels like I've entered into a concert rather than an encounter with Jesus. If you know what I mean, it's like the band is singing at me instead of inviting me to join them in the worship. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to those two issues, please?
Okay. Well, let's talk about lyrics. Way back when, in the 90s, I attended a worship conference and received some training in worship leading and being a worship leader and being called, accepting a call of being a worship leader. And this very topic came up. This was like 97. And the person who was talking was addressing when we choose our songs. There are many songs that are written out there. And, you know, we want to sing the songs that line up with the gospel, scripturally sound. And so when we are choosing songs, they could be the most intense, expressive, beautiful, want to make you cry, fall to your knees, fall out in the spirit. Oh, but it's not scripturally sound. Do you keep that song because of the effect that it's making on the congregation or the listener? Or do you scratch it because it's, you know, not scripturally sound? I've had to scratch it because of this. We are following the lead of the Holy Spirit. We're following Christ, and he would tell us the truth, right? He would tell us that, okay, there's a song that says, I will never suffer. I will not beg for bread. Okay, there's a scripture that says that. But sometimes we as writers, I'm a writer, we will take a scripture and take it out of context. We will say things that sound good, that elevates the ego, or that might make a person feel good, but it really does not speak the truth. We want to speak the truth. God is looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So that says to me, whatever I am putting forth, it has to line up in context with what the scripture is saying. And if it's something that it isn't lining up, then we need to not sing it. Now, some people will say, oh, you're just, you know, kind of nitpicking. No. If Christ went to the cross for me, that's not nitpicking. I want to represent him well. He represented me, so I'm going to represent him well. Can people get religious about it? Can people get legalistic about it? Of course. But we have to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. I want to lead a new believer, a babe in Christ. I want to lead them in a song that speaks the truth so that their foundation is laid in truth. I want them to sing the song right. You know, I got to stand before the Father too, not just pastors for what they're leading. I have to stand and say, you know, I was leading worship and I was, you know, the song was going and I knew it wasn't in context, but it sounded so good and people were jumping and everybody, you know. It's a personal thing. So some lyrics, I will tell you this, Anthony, there are songs that repeat, and it's going to lead into this concert worship. The songs that repeat, and it's just saying one thing over and over again, but it's not really saying the thing, like how people are saying, you know, it's the gospel has been watered down to Jesus loves you. And that's all we talk about is Jesus loves you and the love of God. And it's all about love and this, and we're going back to Woodstock, you know, that type of thing. It's like, no, sometimes it's two sides to that coin of lyrics being quote unquote shallow. The way that a song hits you at just the right time, because you're saying, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. He delivered me from all my fears. The Lord is a deliverer. And if I say deliverer seven more times to me because I am dealing with something, that's going to mean a lot to me. That is going to take me in. But for a person who really doesn't understand it, they will say, you know, you're just saying it over and over again. It doesn't go anywhere. You're not really saying anything. It depends on the worship experience and where you are and what you're going through. That's my take on that. Now, as far as concert worship is sometimes it bothers me. It really does bother me because it's more of a spectator thing. We're watching. I find that even in our congregation, that people are just kind of watching things happen. And sometimes I will even stop I stopped the music. Not that I'm getting on my high horse, but I just stopped the music and I will say, congregation, sing your voice. Let's go. Let's just sing without the music, without anything. And I just move to the side. And I'm like, this is not about me raising my hands or, you know, the praise team, you know, jumping up and down or whatever it is. And this is about connecting with God, you know, this horizontal, vertical worship. Me and God going, going at it. This is what God has done for me. And this is what I want to release to God. And there's nobody in that room. There's only one audience person in the room. And his name is Jehovah. And that's all that matters. There's one person in the room. And so the concert worship, it's like you got the lights going and you got the smoke going. And, you know, it's like, okay, are we worshiping God or are we just, you know, doing a fanfare thing? And it can take on that nature. But like I said, it has two sides of the coin, because in a concert situation, it can touch a part of you that would not be touched if it was in another setting. You will feel a sort of energy, you know? So that's the way I take it. I'm so much to be said.
There is, and I find myself as an interviewer wanting to go, oh, let's talk more about that whole spectator thing in church, because we may need to have you back a second time, and let's dig in there, because, you know, even the way that we set up our worship service, you know, everybody's looking at the back of somebody else's head, and we're watching. So let's make a note of that, and we'll come back to that on another episode. But I do want to, yes. So I want to circle back to something you said earlier about communicating with the pastor, collaborating there. You mentioned a team. And of course, in our context in GCI, we also have what we call the Hope Venue Champion or Hope Venue Leader, someone that's coordinating all the efforts of the Sunday worship gathering. So can you talk more about that, why it matters so much in terms of, I don't know if effective is the word I'm looking for, but that it becomes an excellent expression of worship to the Lord when you gather on Sunday.
That Hope Venue is vital. We're feeling it, that we really need it. And at this time with the pandemic flowing, we've had to recalibrate our Hope Venue. Everybody has. Globally, we've had to recalibrate what it looks like and do it online and digitally. When we come together and I think I'm answering your question about the Hope Venue being vital. Gathering is important. That touch that we experience together and having it done in such a way where we're being fed, we're being nourished, we're having that touch from our brothers and sisters, that eye-to-eye contact of hearing the word come, you know, through the Lord's servant, of hearing the music, of hearing people pray, of having the energy in a room. It doesn't matter if it's 10 people or 25. You know, our congregations are small now, you know. So you have people in a room, and that generating spirit together, it's important. There's a point to, I think, that when Christ had them come in Acts, when the Holy Spirit came down, there's a point that they gathered. There's a point to the Lord's Supper of gathering. There's a point of being in one room, in being one place. There's a point to temple worship. It's where it's the meeting place, the watering hole, I call it, where we all come to be fed and to be watered. So that Hope Venue is the preparation for it. Take your time, get rid of all distractions, and whether it's, you know, not being prepared or, you know, the way that things are done on a Sunday morning or whenever we can meet. The hope venue is that hope venue, that hope champion, that person who is excited about the pulling together of the service, and they are seeing the big picture come together and collaborating with the pastor. Sometimes the pastor is the hope champion, sometimes it's the worship leader, it might be another person. But that person is keeping that energy lit. You are lit for that gathering, so that when people come in, they're like, I want me some of this, some more. I can't wait till next Sunday. They walk through the door and it's like, after the service, they're pumped and ready to get church started on Monday, to go to work, go to school, or whatever it is they're doing. So that when they come back on Sunday, on that hope venue, it's like, I need this. I really, really need this. And they're supportive. They're giving of their tithe so that we can pay rent. We can pay our pastors. And, you know, it's like a well-oiled machine, you know, on a Sunday morning that is working and everybody is benefiting from. So.
Well, this episode was lit, Keisha Taylor, to use your vernacular. Yeah. I mean, this has been rich, and it feels like we should continue to keep talking about these topics, mm-hmm. Because they are vital to church life. And like you mentioned, the Hope Venue, the gathering matters, but it also is integrated with the other venues, the Love Venue, or what we do outside the walls of the church during the week, and the Faith Venue, our gathering spaces during the week to disciple people. They all work together, but you have done an excellent job of laying out why worship leading is a priority in the Hope Venue, and the work that I think if I'm taking away one thing from this conversation, it is the amount of work and effort and energy and prayer and thoughtfulness and intentionality that goes into leading worship in a healthy church environment. Yes. So thank you. And as is our tradition, Keisha Taylor, we like to put you on the spot a little bit and ask just some fast-hitting questions. And I would love, if you're willing to play along, that you come up with whatever answer comes to mind first. Are you willing to do this? Okay. 7 questions. All right, here we go. What's your favorite food?
Plantain.
Ooh, an island lady. All right, what's your favorite kind of dance?
Right now, African hip-hop.
Oh, yeah. And all-time favorite worship song?
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Amen. What movie always makes you cry?
I would say Notebook.
I love it. What movie always makes you laugh?
Let's see, Rush Hour 2.
I'm laughing thinking about it. So fill in the blank. When I need to clear my mind, I do what?
I go to the park.
And finally, what is the one place in the world you want to visit?
Somewhere in Africa.
I'm going to be talking to your husband, Charles, sometime today. I'll put that, plant that notion in his mind and bring that up. Well, Keisha, thank you so much for being a part of this and taking the time to join me today.
And
yes, for me and for all of our listeners. And it's our practice at GC Podcast. We really do like to end the show with prayer. So would you be willing to pray for worship followers all around the world in GCI as they navigate this time?
Yes. Holy Spirit, dear Father, we come before you in the power of your Spirit, by the power of your name, Jesus. Thank you so much for this moment that we have. Thank you for this spot, this Eden, this Kabod, where you reside, Father. And we just acknowledge your presence. We know, God, that you are leading, and we thank you so much for being faithful, for being compassionate and kind to us. Father, I just lift up the worship followers. Father, we say worship leading because we're standing before a crowd or before, you know, a few people. But in essence, Father, we're just looking to you. We're following you. We thank you, O God, for calling us. We thank you, O God, for loving us and for showing us the way. And we want to be good stewards of what you've given us. We want to make it so important in our lives every day. Father, we just lay every weight. We cast everything at your feet. We want to hear from you every day. We want to see the nuances in everything that we do that speaks of you. And so, Father, I am lifting up your worship followers today. I am asking you, Father, to make it very clear their calling. I'm asking you to ignite their passion. I'm asking you to give them an awareness that they have so much that they can do for you, and that they are equipped and they are full of grace and full of power because we have you. We do nothing of and by ourselves. It is all by your power. It is all by your strength. You are controlling everything. So we rejoice. We rejoice. Our soul rejoices. Thank you, O God, for having mercy upon us. Thank you for doing the unexpected thing. And we just look forward to the next, what we're going to do, the reverberations that will come from this, and that we can flow in your spirit, that we can continue to be lit, we can continue to be ignited, and that we will do your bidding. It is all for you, and we humble ourselves before you. Continue, Father, pressing into you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. There were so many good insights about worship leading in the interview. What stood out to you, Joe?
Yeah, I think, man, Keisha had a lot of good, keen insights in that interview that I really liked. And it was hard to just kind of pick out one nugget, but there was something that really stood out to me later on in the interview that you had with her was the song selection. And she says that she tries to look at the theology of the song and the actual words that are being sung. And she actually quote, like this is a direct quote on what she said. She says, "Do you keep that song because of the effect on the congregation, or do you make song selection decisions based on scripture?" And I've seen my wife do this where she'll be doing this song and all of a sudden she'll come to me and she'll say, "You know, I don't think that's theologically sound. I think we need to either change some of the words or eliminate the song completely." And sometimes it's a song that the congregation, they do get behind, they get excited, there's a great response, but it's so true. What's the purpose of leading worship? Is it to just get a response out of the congregation, or are we leading people to the triune love of the Father, Son, and the Spirit?
Yeah, that's so good, Joe, because you know how it is with song and music. You tend to remember the lyrics in a way that you wouldn't if you read the same lyrics in a book form, for instance. It's just you add the underlying music to it, and it just there's memorization. So why wouldn't we want to point people to the truth of who God has revealed himself to be in Jesus Christ? That's such a good word. And we know that worship leading is a very, very important function of the Hope Venue, which is our Sunday morning gathering. So GCI has a new ministry tool available to pastors and preachers and teachers for the Hope Venue specifically called Gospel Reverb. It's a podcast. Joe, why don't you tell us more about Gospel Reverb?
Man, I am excited about this new podcast that GCI has started. The first one just came out. The first episode came out, and it is just filled with great information. So the Gospel Reverb is a monthly podcast devoted to bringing you insights from Scripture found in the Revised Common Lectionary and sharing commentary from a Christ-centered and Trinitarian view. The host is the one and only Anthony Mullins that you can hear. Wait. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. I know you.
I know you.
And each month, Anthony interviews a new guest that brings preaching nuggets to help you in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what, Anthony? People can find the latest Gospel Reverb podcast at resources.gci.org/media, then under media, it's Gospel Reverb.
That's a mouthful. And so is the podcast. There's a lot of good stuff there. So check it out, friends. And we thank you so much for listening to us today. If you like what you've heard, give us a rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really does help get the word out and for others to join the conversation. Until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.